Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Diabetes, it is not a new health issue. We're all familiar with it, and yet so many of us are still struggling with it. And it remains a mystery that is so hard to manage for a lot of people. Well, during this Diabetes Awareness Month, we dive in again to help you manage it and to be as healthy as you can be if you have it. My guest is Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, one of the best doctors in the business, to answer your questions and ours. So I invite you to give us a call right now and to get your questions answered at 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good, good. Good to talk to you again. It's been a minute.
Yes, it has.
So let me, because it has been a minute, tell me what you have seen over the course of this year in reference to your patients. I know a lot of people have foregone their regular checkups and a lot of their business their visits because of the pandemic last year. They weren't coming in. A lot of people expressing a whole lot of concern, but now things have opened up and they're coming back. What are your patients telling you, and what are you observing about your patients who have diabetes? Are you seeing more new patients? What's the deal?
Well, we are seeing more new patients, and COVID has brought on actually an increase in number of diabetes being diagnosed. We're really not sure what it may be, but for those who actually developed COVID, they actually went on to develop diabetes, whether it's due to the inflammation that was already in their body, if they were in a pre-diabetes state. The COVID just sort of exacerbated it. Now, my patients who had have diabetes during the pandemic when they could not come in, it was really a challenge for them. One, they could not be as physically active, so, and they tended to eat a little more, so their weight had increased, their blood sugars had increased, and now we're beginning to see them back in the office, and we're working with them to get their diabetes back on track.
Mm-hmm. What are they telling you about how they're feeling and some of the struggles or challenges that they are experiencing or have been experiencing over the past year or so?
Well, you know, COVID in itself has been a stressor in many people's lives. And, you know, not being able to go out, the fear of contracting the disease. And this has really taken a toll on many of the patients. Also, as I stated before, many of them complain that, you know, I couldn't get out. I couldn't exercise. All I did was eat. And I noticed that my blood sugar was going up. And, you know, they're coming back in the office now. When those who were in pretty good control before COVID, they're noticing that their diabetes control has deteriorated. So there are multiple factors. And I think stress, anxiety, depression, all of those factors can play on your diabetes control and management.
Hmm, interesting. Are you surprised at what you're seeing?
Not at all. I'm not surprised. And I think, you know, sometimes just being able to touch the person, examine the person, and, you know, just checking out things, basic things like looking in their eyes and their feet, you just couldn't do it during the pandemic. And we were doing a lot of telehealth and telephone visits, and actually we were doing some remote patient monitoring for those who had glucometers or continuous glucose monitors where we can actually see their blood sugars. We could help them in that way, but many of them did not have these tools, this technology. So we had to go by what they were telling us. And since we couldn't actually see it, It was somewhat challenging on our part as well in terms of how well we could manage them. And then many of them, you know, we usually do blood work. They were scared to go out to the lab to get their blood work to see how well their diabetes is doing, you know, like their A1Cs, their lipids, their cholesterol, things like that, looking at how their kidneys are functioning. Many of them just said, no, I just can't go out and get those tests done. And I'll just have to wait, you know, until things tend to open up.
So let's do a little diabetes 101. I mean, you know, I know these things, but there's always that one person or those five people or those 500 people listening to this program for whom these terms are very, very new. So you mentioned A1C, you mentioned lipids. Let's go through it for those who aren't familiar with it. A1C, what is that?
So that is a blood test that we measure your average blood sugar over the past 3 months. It gives us a good idea of how well your diabetes is controlled. Many times our goal is to have that A1C at less than 7. If we can do it safely without you having low blood sugars. And really, that tells us that most of the time, your blood sugars are pretty much staying under 150. And, you know, our goal is to try to keep most of your blood sugars somewhere between that 70 and 150 range. So this is the goal that we're trying to get our patients to achieve. And so this is the idea. And what we have learned is that if you can control your blood sugars, if you can maintain your A1C at less than 7, you can significantly reduce complications that many people dread, that dreaded, you know, blindness or amputations or dialysis. And we learned that really keeping those blood sugars under control is the key. Then we have the cholesterol, the lipids. We know that heart disease, stroke, are leading causes of death for those who have diabetes. And we try to control those cholesterol levels. We have our bad cholesterol, which is the LDL, and ideally we'd like it to be less than 100. We have our good cholesterol, which is that HDL, and we'd like it to be above 40 in men and 50 in women. And then we have that cholesterol that sort of tells us what the fat content is in your bloodstream, the triglycerides, and we like that to be under 150.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. This is our Medical Monday conversation. We are talking about diabetes, not only what it is, where it comes from, but also how it affects you and how you can be the healthiest that you can be if you are a diabetic. If you have a comment, if you have a question about diabetes, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stacy, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Stacy. What's on your mind? Stacy, are you there? Stacy, give us a call back if you have a question or a comment. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. One of the things that we often see when it comes to our medication advertisements on television, we often see people, the actors, who are dealing with the actors in the advertisements. They always are a bit portly, Rubenesque, round. I love words. but the truth of the matter is that everyone who has diabetes isn't necessarily always overweight. Isn't that true?
Yeah, that's true. And it also depends on the type of diabetes that you have. Type 1 diabetes tends to occur in younger individuals. They may not be overweight, It generally comes on fairly rapidly, and it is characterized by the lack of your insulin production by your body, and you have to take insulin. So they tend to be more leaner, as opposed to type 2 diabetes that tends to occur in older individuals, generally being overweight or obese, or as you say, a little portly. This is the tendency for type 2 diabetes. Tends to run in families. Oftentimes there is either a parent or a sibling that may also have type 2 diabetes, as opposed to type 1 that generally no one else in the family may have. So most of the advertisement regarding diabetes management is really geared towards type 2 diabetes, and that probably is the reason why you see the actors being a little bit on the chubby side, overweight, and this is the market that they're actually trying to target.
Mm-hmm. Well, let us target some of our phone calls now. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about diabetes and your health. If you have a comment or a question, give us a call. Of course, we will be taking phone calls as we always do up until 8 o'clock. And so please continue to call us even after 7:30. Margaret, calling from Landover. Thanks for calling, Margaret. What's on your mind?
Okay, first I'd like to know if it's all right to take the COVID shot if you're diabetic.
Yes, definitely. You should take the COVID shot. Individuals with diabetes are at increased risk for complications associated with diabetes, more likely to be hospitalized or in the intensive care unit. So we definitely encourage all people with diabetes to take the COVID shot.
Okay. Now, I'm supposed to have surgery. Should I have the shots before I have surgery?
Yes, you can go ahead and have the shot before you have surgery, yes.
Okay. I have one more question. I've been a diabetic for the last 7-8 years, type 2, and I've been on metformin, one tablet a day, for the last, ever since I became a diabetic. So, is that good or bad?
Well, it all depends on how well your diabetes is controlled. If your doctor has measured your hemoglobin A1C, and your A1C is less than 7, that one tablet once a day is adequate for you. So you should know what your A1C. If it is not, if your A1C is not below 7, and let's say it's 8 or 9, then you may need more metformin, or you may need additional medications to get that A1C down.
Okay. Thank you.
Margaret, thank you so much for your phone call. Good health to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Vondell calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Vondell. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I have two real quick questions. I'm going to be real quick.
Sure.
My mom developed diabetes probably about 6 or 7 years ago. So she likes her sweets, and I bring her things like a couple of times a month. But I want to know, like, because she's diabetic, what's like a healthy sweet? Because she's not going to avoid eating anything sweet at all. So what would you recommend?
Well, you know, of course, we say fruit is a healthy sweet, but, you know, occasionally, you know, eating things that probably we shouldn't eat, any of us who really do not, we don't have diabetes, shouldn't be eating a lot of cakes and cookies and pies, but maybe an occasional, you know, like a special occasion, celebrate your birthday, you can have it. Maybe if you have cake, take some of that icing off of it. If you like cookies, maybe have one instead of 5. You know, those are the kinds of things that I would recommend. But actually, fruit is the best sweet that you could possibly eat. Natural, and it has fiber, and it's just more healthy.
Okay, and then one last quick question. So I have another friend that's been diabetic for probably more than 20 years. And a lot of times when we'll go out with them, you know, pre-COVID, of course, I would say to her, oh, you know, are you supposed to have this? This looks like a lot of sweets. And she'll say, I'll just take an extra shot of metformin. Is that normal?
Okay. Well, if she's going to take metformin, that is not going to bring that blood sugar down if she's eating a lot of sweets. So I can tell you that.
Let me stop you for a moment. Okay. What is metformin?
All right. Metformin is a pill that we often give to people who have type 2 diabetes. It's one of the first-line treatments that we give someone who has type 2 diabetes. And what it does is it works actually on your liver. It prevents the liver from putting out a lot of sugar into your bloodstream. So that's where its primary action that it works. It may have a little effect in terms of, you know, taking the sugar into the muscle, but primarily it is that liver. So that's the first medication that we tend to give people who have been diagnosed with diabetes. And many times after a while, it may not be enough. And then we have to add more medications to control the blood sugars. But it is a pill for type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, I want to drill down a little bit more with what Vondel is asking about, too, because I think that he just kind of is scraping. You know, first of all, Vondel, how old is your mom?
She's 66.
Yeah, is she exercising at all?
She does a little bit, but she developed COVID on Christmas last year, so she's still feeling the effects of that.
So
but
she's one of those long haulers.
My father used to push her a lot, you know, to exercise.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say she's overweight. I think she's probably like a size 10.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know on the scale of things, so.
That's not bad. That's not bad, but, you know, if she's still feeling the effects of COVID, that means she's a long hauler. Certainly, you know, she's 66. She's in that, you know, in that age range where you have to be, you know, certainly concerned. Is she vaccinated?
Yes, she's fully vaccinated and booster.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and wonderful thing, you know, look, I'm no doctor. We have a doctor on the line, but lots of moving pieces there. But Vondel, look, thank you so much. I appreciate you sharing with us. You know, just, you know, take care of your mom and your friend. I appreciate your phone call. We have Lisa and Irene. We're going to be talking to both of them, so please do not hang up. As I said, we have Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, Director of Howard University's Hospitals Diabetes Treatment Center, one of the best in the health business when it comes to diabetes. So if you have a comment or a question, lines are open at 202-319-7810. We're taking your calls up until 8 o'clock. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back with this conversation in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM, Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday conversation. This is Diabetes Awareness Month. This is nothing new. We talk about diabetes, not just, of course, during the month of October, but anytime that this issue comes up, it is a big issue for people of color and all people, to be quite honest, and it is a very, very important thing. It is an issue that affects young and old, and that is why we continue to drive home the health issues surrounding diabetes. My guest is Dr. Gail Nunley Bland. As I've said, she is the best in the business, director of the Howard University Hospital Diabetes Treatment Center. If you have a comment, if you have a question about your diabetic health, give us a call right now. We are taking your phone calls up until 8 o'clock. Let's go back to the phone lines. Irene, calling from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Irene. What's on your mind?
What's on my mouth is I have pressure and I do have diabetes and I do take metformin. But every time I take it, I take it twice a day And every time I take it, like at night, I take it at 9. In the morning when I wake up, my stomach is hurting so bad. So I do not know whether it's metformin or it's metoprolol that I'm taking for pressure. So that's one of my questions. My second question is, I walk every weekend twice, like Saturday and Sunday, because I walk every day. But I've tried to lose weight. It is so hard to lose weight. Mm. I do not know why. I only lose like one pound, and I really do not know why. So that's my question.
Okay. Well, your first question is regarding, I guess you're having a lot of stomach pains, stomach aches when you take the metformin. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, the metformin can be associated with stomach aches, stomach pains. Sometimes what we do is we may reduce the dose to see if you could tolerate it better, or we may change the type of metformin, what we call extended release or XR. You may ask your doctor if you're just taking plain metformin, maybe try metformin XR, extended release, and sometimes that can help with the stomach pains. And then if you still can't tolerate it, then we can change you to other medications, diabetes medications that can help control your blood sugar. So I would suggest that you talk with your doctor about the stomach pains that you have. Another thing that sometimes we advise with metformin is not to take it on an empty stomach. So maybe taking it at dinner time instead of before you go to bed, just to help see if that helps with your stomach pain. Your second question is about exercising on the weekend, I take it, and you've only lost 1 pound. Well, there are two things with weight. One is the food, and many times we have to cut back amount of the food that we eat and increase the exercise. And what we found that sometimes you don't need to lose a lot of weight. Sometimes if you lost 10 pounds, 5 or 10 pounds, that is enough to help control your blood sugar. And we actually recommend that you try to go for 150 minutes a week, which would be 30 minutes, 5 days a week, or if you can't do it on the during the week, to increase it during the weekend. And then to maybe cut out about 500 calories a day. So, that may be, and hopefully this is not something that you eat, but sometimes I tell some of my patients, okay, cut the soda and the chips out. I mean, that would be your 500 calories.
I don't drink soda.
So
I only eat greens, and lentils. That's all I eat.
Okay, well, good, then. Keep doing that. And if you can increase your walking, walk a little further, that may be helpful. And if you're eating starches like rice and bread, peas and corn, maybe cutting that in half, all right, because that can help lower your blood sugar, too, by not eating so much of the starches.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right. Irene, thank you so much and good health to you. Let's go to Lisa, calling from Baltimore. Lisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I am a diabetic.
Okay.
And I went to the doctors and my A1Cs was 8.6. So he upped my dose. He had me on metformin 500 milligrams. So he went on and upped it to 2,000 milligrams a day.
Mm-hmm.
So after a while, I went back. My weight did come off, and my A1Cs went down to 6.6. I do walk anywhere. What makes me feel good is walking like 45 minutes a day and going up and down steps. I did drop the weight. So then when I go to see him, he wants to put me on Trulicity. He wanted me to do that in the stomach and continue the metformin, and he was looking at my weight, and I said, no. I said, my blood sugar keeps dropping. And I said, to do an injection, and then 2,000 milligrams of metformin a day, and I'm at a 6.6, it's not making sense to me.
Okay.
So what I did was myself went back to 500 milligrams a day because I kind of got this thing with diabetes down packed down. It took me a while. But exercising, and I was having really bad mood swings with the diabetes. I feel great now. And I told him a couple times, because I just seen him last Wednesday, and he kept saying, well, I see that the way the Trulicity, I said, no. I said, I haven't been taking Trulicity. I said, I was just doing the metformin, because I said, all of a sudden, I was like 225. Now I'm at 202. But my blood sugar was like just dropping anytime it wanted to, and I was eating too. So now I'm on 500 milligrams. I'm going back again to see what my A1Cs are this time.
Okay.
So let me ask you this, you know, Doc, because, you know, for obviously Lisa knows what's going on with her, but for those of us who don't speak diabetes. I need you to translate what she just said.
Okay. Well, it sounds like Lisa did the right thing. She exercised. She adhered to a diet that was healthy. She lost weight, and it looks like she lost nearly 25 pounds.
Yes, I did.
And so really, she did the things that is needed to control your diabetes. She was on a medication that we often use. Many people, we've heard metformin, where most of the callers have stated they're on. And that is a useful drug in controlling your blood sugar. And her A1C dropped down to 6.5. I mean, that's really great. That's a goal is less than 7, and that's even better, you know, if you're down to 6.5. So if she didn't take the Trulicity, you know, I'm thinking that you did everything that you could do, and you benefited from them, that maybe you don't need it. But this is something that I would have a conversation with your doctor, you know, regarding that. Oftentimes we do use Trulicity, which is one of the newer medications that we have on the market now, that when metformin no longer works, you're not losing weight. We need to control your blood sugar better. We will then add this once a week injection. And the way this medicine works is it promotes your body's own insulin, and so it increases the insulin that your body produces. And it decreases your body's, reduces the blood sugar that your body would put out, okay? And so it works in two ways. Helps your insulin work better, and then reduces the sugar that your body would normally. And we've had success with people who couldn't control their blood sugars with metformin alone, and that we add the Trulicity, and they've done well, and they have lost weight as well. So. But it looks like you did it without the Trulicity, so I think that's great.
Lisa, where are you walking? Lake Montebello or Druid Hill Park? Which one?
No, I walk in my neighborhood.
Okay.
Well, I was walking in my neighborhood, but and I'm going up and down. I go over to the school, which I live across from, and I go up and down the steps. But I do have another question.
Yeah, go ahead.
How do we, at first, they weren't giving me, a lady had spoke to me, a nurse practitioner, about diabetes medicine and also protecting my kidneys when you take the metformin. And it took him a long time before I could convince him to give me the pressure pill.
Okay. So one of the things, definitely controlling your blood pressure is key in terms of protecting your kidneys. And the pressure pills that we often use, they're ACE or ARBs, and they help to keep your kidneys basically from progressing on to kidney failure.
Right.
And then we also have another medication, and I don't know if they spoke to you about, which is an SGLT2 inhibitor.
And what is that? What is that?
SGLT2 inhibitor. And what that is paradoxically – it causes you to excrete the sugar out of your body at the kidney level. And, you know, that's something that, you know, diabetes, we know that you're constantly putting sugar out into your urine. But this medicine, mm-hmm. that's what it does. And so it helps to lower the blood sugar. But it does seem to prevent the progression of kidney damage. And so this is a newer medication that we're using as well, in addition to that blood pressure medicine, the ACE and the ARB. So we have a lot of medications out here that can help individuals manage their diabetes to prevent the complications associated with diabetes. And I say in this day and age, we should see very few amputations, blindness, dialysis, all of those things that many people associate diabetes with, because we have so many medications out here now.
So here's my question, and the reason I was kind of partially joking with Lisa is because, you know, obviously, Lisa, you were walking outside when the weather was warm. Now, are you going to be walking outside as the weather cools off?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Because I think that's, you know, and you're one of the few, because, and this is why I bring that up, because this weekend, I live near Lake Montebello in Baltimore. Mm-hmm. And when I walked, even in the middle of the day, at the warmest part of the day, because we are now in the middle of fall, there was virtually no one out there. And my concern is that for people who are very serious about your health, like the Lisas of the world, that as the weather begins to cool, and there are people who don't perhaps have gym memberships, what can they do to continue the exercise portion if they're not outside and they may begin to slack off, Doc?
Well, you know, most of us have phones where we can stream videos. We can do these on cable TV. They often have many times exercises programs that you can view. I would encourage them to use those when you cannot go outside to walk or you don't have a gym membership. I mean, if you're fortunate enough to have a treadmill or exercise bike, you can always do that. And for those who have joint problems, cannot walk, limited mobility, even chair exercises, filling up empty milk cartons with water and use them to lift them up, or if you can, get some of those exercise bands where you can stretch things and you can sit in your chair to do that. So there are many things that you can do that can keep you physically active during the winter months.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, I'm going to, you know, paste your picture next to, you know, healthy person in the dictionary, or you know, you hang in there.
Yes, or you can come and visit my daughter at My Purple Mat in Reisterstown, Maryland, a yoga studio.
Yeah, that's northwest. I'm saying northeast, but no.
Okay. But it's all good.
It is. Lisa, thank you so much. You stay healthy now. I appreciate
thank
your
you.
Phone call. Let me go to Deborah. Deborah calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I would really like the doctor to speak about pre-diabetes.
That is such a great question, and you beat me to it, and that's okay. That is such a huge issue. What is pre-diabetes?
Okay, pre-diabetes is a condition, it's sort of like the warning that you're on your way to developing diabetes, but it's something that if you change your lifestyle, you can reverse it. You know, a lot of times people think, well, I can reverse diabetes. And maybe not. You can control it, but you can't really reverse it. Pre-diabetes, yes, you can actually reverse that. And how we define pre-diabetes is based on, one, your blood sugar, fasting blood sugar, and a fasting blood sugar is if you hadn't had anything to eat for about 8 to 12 hours except for maybe water, you come into the doctor's office or to the lab, get your blood sugar checked, and if your blood sugar is between 100 and 125, that is in the pre-diabetes range. Another test that we do, and we've heard about A1Cs throughout the evening, we can measure your blood and look at your A1C. And if your A1C is between 5.7 and 6.4, that is in the pre-diabetes range. An A1C of 6.5 or greater is considered in the diabetes range. So 5.7 to 6.4. So one of the things that we do, particularly in our patient population, and anytime you may go to your doctor for routine health screenings, particularly if you're over the age of 45, they may run this A1C test on you to see if you are in the pre-diabetes state. And what we advise you to do is to exercise more. Get that 150 minutes of exercise a week, walking. Reduce your calories by about 500 to 700, or try to lose anywhere from 5% to 10% of your body weight, or sometimes that could just only be 5 to 10 pounds of body weight. And we know that with that, you can actually prevent from going on to significantly reduce your chances of going on to develop diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and oftentimes you can actually get your A1C down into the normal range just by making these lifestyle changes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Deborah, thank you so much for your phone call.
All right.
Yeah. Let's go to Mary. Mary calling from Fort Washington. Mary, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Yes,
thanks.
Dr. Bryan, I'd like to ask you a question about being diagnosed with type 1 at the age of 45. How common is that? Because that's when I was diagnosed, and I'm now 65.
Yeah, it's not as common as, you know, younger individuals under the age of 20, but we do see type 1 in older individuals, and it's not that uncommon. Probably about 10% of all of the individuals that are probably over the age of 45 may be type 1, have type 1 diabetes. And what we're doing now, actually, we're screening pretty much all of our patients that have diabetes for type 1 diabetes. And the blood test that we can use is the antibody test, and we usually like to run that panel of antibody tests. There are about 5 of them that we actually run, and we see and we find out, you have positive, you know, say GAD antibody, glutamic acid decarboxylase antibody, or zinc 8 antibody, or islet cell antibody, or insulin autoantibody. You know, these are all these antibodies that your immune system has actually began to attack the cells, the beta cells, that actually produce the insulin. So it's not that uncommon, and we're finding more and more people that we thought had type 2 diabetes, and when we run these tests, we find actually they have type 1 diabetes. So it's not that uncommon.
I see. Just one more question. So how do you feel about it being inherited? Because my father was a type 1, and so was his sister.
Okay. So what we do know is if fathers can transmit type 1 diabetes more than if a mother has type 1 diabetes to their offspring. I mean, it's not significantly high. It may be 5 to 7% chance that if your father has type 1 diabetes, that you may go on to develop type 1 diabetes. So that's something that we have learned, and not sure why, but that may be the case. And because this is an autoimmune condition, you have a slightly increased chance of having that type 1 diabetes, but it's not as high as it is with type 2 diabetes. So it's not as, you know, for type 2 diabetes, you know, if you have one parent that has type 2 diabetes, you might have a 25% chance of developing type 2 diabetes, as opposed to type 1, where you may only have a 5% chance of developing it. So it's just a difference in terms of how it is transmitted genetically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much for your insight.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. I appreciate your phone call. Dr. Bland, can we, in these last few minutes, talk about some no-nonsense ways to manage your health as it relates to particularly foodstuffs and indeed, you know, exercise? We are, of course, heading into the holidays, and you touched on some of the things in relation to diet and specifically foods that you should and should not eat. Would you mind drilling down a little bit more on that? Because I think that's something that people really need to hear more about.
Yes. So diet is extremely important in terms of managing diabetes, and even if you do not have diabetes, diet is important. And actually, we should strive more towards a plant-based diet. Our leafy green vegetables are good sources of vitamins and minerals and antioxidants that, you know, can prevent the aging process. And we like to tell our patients that half your plate should be vegetables, and then you divide the other half in half. So a quarter of it would be your starch, and the other quarter would be protein. And that's a good starting point, that really we should strive towards more vegetables. And then fruit, because it does have sugar in it, you can have 2 servings of fruit a day. Eliminate the juices if at all possible. And if you must have juice, we recommend trying not to drink more than 4 ounces of juice a day, or what we would consider a half a cup of juice, and then limit the processed foods that we have that is in abundance. You know, our chips, our candies, our sugary donuts and pies and cakes and cookies and so forth. They can be consumed occasionally, but not on a daily basis. The other is try to limit your fast food consumptions, because usually they're usually high fat, high sugar, loaded with salt. These are things that you should try to avoid as well in terms of your diet. In terms of exercise, again, 30 minutes, 5 days a week is really something that we highly recommend. And even if you can't get it in, you know, 5 days a week, if you did 3 days a week and, you know, spent 50 minutes of exercise, that is something. At least get something in. And even if you can't do that, do something. You know, that physical activity improves your body's own ability to use the insulin that it is produced. And so it increases your sensitivity to insulin, which then helps to lower your blood sugar even more. So exercise is really important as well. So good nutrition, exercise are keys to healthy living, regardless if you have diabetes. And if you don't want to develop diabetes, again, healthy food, exercise, is the key. If you have prediabetes, healthy food, exercise is the key.
So about people who may be diagnosed with prediabetes, and let's say they decide to change their diet to a healthier lifestyle and lose weight, is it possible to pull back from that diagnosis?
Yes, it can. And I have seen that happen, where people have changed their lifestyles, their diets, their exercise, they've lost, you know, weight, their A1Cs are no longer in the prediabetes range.
Mm-hmm. And the, and those who have indeed been diagnosed with, you know, with diabetes, can they go from diabetic to non-diabetic? Type 2?
Well, I always like to caution, type 2. I like to caution them that you can control it and, you know, we can take you off many of the medications that we have put you on, but you have to be cognizant of, you have to continue that healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I have seen individuals who are able to do that, that they really try hard to lead that healthy lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think that that's, you know, that's one of the things, because as I said, you know, in the very beginning, when you see so many advertisements about the variety of medications that are now available, if you don't do the deep dive and talk to your doctor and do the kind of research, you can perhaps talk yourself into thinking that these things are more than treatments and that they are indeed cures.
Right.
Yeah. And we don't want to do that. So.
Right.
Any final words, Dr. Bland, before we wrap things up that you want to share?
Well, my final words are, if you have diabetes, you can control it. You don't have to have a fatalistic view that, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. It runs in my family. I'm just doomed. It is a healthy lifestyle that all of us need to live in. You shouldn't think that, oh, I've got diabetes, I can't eat this, I can't do this, or whatever. It's really a lifestyle that everyone should live in terms of their diet and their exercise. So those are my parting words.
Well, I appreciate that. And certainly as we move toward the holidays, particularly the Thanksgiving holidays, we should be focusing on parting with the Thanksgiving table a little sooner than later, wouldn't you agree?
Yes, indeed. I agree.
Oh, my goodness.
To help in addressing a sweet potato pie, okay?
Yeah, well, you just save that slice and put it in the freezer for next year. How about that? Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, thank you so much. Always good talking to you, and you stay in your best health.
All right, and same to you. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, November 8th. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.